coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Phyllis Schlafly, and Phyllis has been a leader in this movement ever since I can remember, even when I first got involved back in 1962, why she was out in the front lines of this battle, and she's still back there battling. She's the chairman of Eagle Forum, and certainly is trying to get people to understand so much of what's going on, and we'll let you know a little later how to get her material, but she's written a wonderful book, The Supremacists. That's The Supremacists, talking about the Supreme Court, of course, and we do carry that book because we think it's important. And then Phyllis has had some comments on Harriet Myers, and of course we know that Karl Rove called James Dobson and sort of inferred that certainly Harriet Myers was strongly pro-life and that she would, of course, give the sort of votes that the Christian conservatives want. And I have a feeling that the White House is manipulating the Christian voters in this country. What are your thoughts on that, Phyllis?
Well, I think those calls were very unfortunate because they tried to tell the religious supporters of Bush, trust us, we're sure she's one of us. At the same time, they're really kind of putting out a different story to the general public because we don't want to think there's a religious test for any office. It was kind of an unfortunate double type of selling.
Well, I think it was very, very clever on their part. I mean, I think these are unscrupulous people, and of course, they will deceive everybody. But if you can manipulate good people and you can get them behind you, why, of course, you can sell Harriet Myers or the Christian voters in this country.
Well, there are seem to be a lot of people, or at least some people in this country, who accept the notion of trust me. I'm offended by that. I think that there isn't any person who should be accorded that. We trusted Ronald Reagan, and he gave us O'Connor and Kennedy. And trust but verify is a better way to approach it. Harriet Myers is 60 years old, and she has never written anything on the Constitution. So we don't have a clue as to what her judicial philosophy is. We, I think, are entitled and expected to get from President Bush the counterpart to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, let's recall for a minute what that situation was. President Clinton appointed her. Everything was on the record. We knew that she was a radical feminist who not only was pro-abortion, she thought that abortion funding should be in the U.S. Constitution. She had a long paper trail espousing every nutty, weirdo feminist view, such as sex-integrating prisons and reformatories and the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. She was on record as wanting to reduce the age of sexual consent to 12. She was on record as making an ugly remark about full-time homemakers. She said the concept of husband breadwinner, wife homemaker must be eliminated from the code. She was urged a complete sex neutrality, including drafting women and putting them in combat, but using affirmative action. You know, the people who think they're for equality are also for affirmative action. And she even wanted to change the language in our laws to get rid of so-called sexist words like mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife. And she even wanted to change the pronouns from he and she to he/she, and hers slash his. And this was all on the record, and yet she was confirmed 96-3.
Why would the Republicans have voted for somebody that radical?
Well, they refused to go into her record. You know, you've got a lot of older men who just simply don't have the nerve to challenge a woman, even though she was an aggressive advocate for the ACLU, litigating all kinds of cases before the Supreme Court.
Well, I hold that thought there for just a moment, but I think it's so vitally important to understand that the Republicans didn't oppose Bill Clinton when he wanted to put in a radical, but the Democrats opposed the Republicans. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Phyllis Schlafly, president of Eagle Forum, and certainly somebody that has been on the front lines of this battle for many years. Recently, she's written a book about the Supreme Court called The Supremacist, and we think it's such an important book that we carry it. In fact, I think we even still carry her book, A Choice Not an Echo, that she wrote back in 1964, which played such an important point and our part in the nomination of Barry Goldwater for the Republican nomination for the President of the United States. But as you can see, Phyllis has been around for a good long time. That was 41 years ago. But right now we're talking about the Supreme Court, and Phyllis has been talking about the nomination of Harriet Myers, but she started out by talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And there was no question in anybody's mind that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a radical leftist. She was on the wrong side of every issue as far as homosexuality and abortion and family and sexism, and she wanted women in the military. And she was an advocate of everything the ACLU stands for, and she would be on the radical wing of the ACLU, and yet she was confirmed with 96 senators voting for, and almost every Republican backed Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, why would they back somebody that radical? And yet, of course, when the Republicans want to put in a conservative nominee, why, of course, they say, well, the Democrats have a right to object. So why is it that the Republicans support the radicals and the Democrats support the radicals? Doesn't seem that we have a lot of difference there.
Well, the reason I devoted so much time to Ruth Bader Ginsburg is to say that we think we had a right to expect that President Bush would give us the opposite number. You know, he campaigned for the presidency, and the stock line in his speech, stump speech, which always brought a round of applause, was we are not going to stand for activist judges who are legislating from the bench and remaking our culture through court order. He led us to believe he would appoint justices like Scalia and Thomas. So we think we had, if he's going to pick a woman, we thought we were entitled to have the opposite number to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And Harriet Myers is not that. So that's why I devoted so much time to Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Well, now what does Harriet Myers really stand for?
Well, a good question. You tell me. Nobody knows.
That's why I invited you onto the program, Phyllis, to tell us what you thought of Harriet Myers, because there's a lot of good, loyal Republicans and Christians who are backing her, because the president backs her and has promised us that, she's a good person, but...
person, but that's not good enough. George Bush is a good person.
Hold that thought right there, right, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Phyllis Schlafly, and of course, Phyllis is just saying that we really don't know where Harriet Myers stands, and she thinks that the American people, certainly the Christian conservatives who back George Bush, are entitled to know where this woman stands. So pick up the story from there.
Well, she's 60 years old, and she's never written anything on the Constitution.
And she's never even been a judge.
No, she hasn't been a judge, and reporters have called many of her friends, and nobody can remember her saying anything about her judicial philosophy or about her attitude toward judicial supremacy. Nobody can recall that she ever took a position or fought for anything.
Well, now, what about this idea of the strict interpretation of the Constitution? Because that is, of course, what we really need. We have a wonderful form of government. We have a wonderful Constitution. The only trouble is we have judges who don't believe in it, who've sworn to uphold it, and then have done everything they could to undermine it and destroy the very foundation upon which our freedom rests. Do we have any idea where she stands on the Constitution?
We don't have a clue, because she has never expressed herself one way or the other. And let me point out, it's not a matter of whether you're pro-life or pro-choice or Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal. As Scalia has pointed out very well, it's a matter of whether you stick to the original language of the Constitution or you think it's a living and evolving document that you can basically rewrite or reinterpret according with your own social preferences or emerging awareness or foreign decisions, or whatever. And Scalia and Thomas are people who believe, as the Constitution says, that the Constitution itself is the supreme law of the land, and along with the laws that are made in pursuance thereof, and the laws have to be made by the legislature, not the courts. Now, we don't know what Harriet Myers thinks. She's never told us. And to arrive at her age and have this appointment without anything on the record to assure us that she believes in the original language of the Constitution, I think it's just buying a blank slate. And we've been burned a number of times when we did that.
And would you want to buy a used car from somebody who you really didn't trust? And this is really, there's nothing here to trust because we don't know whether she's honest or not. We don't even know whether she believes that the Constitution is a fixed document or whether it can be reinterpreted. And the great tragedy of today is we have five people, all you need is a majority on the Supreme Court, to change the entire structure of our society, whether the people want it or not. And so many of the decisions of the Supreme Court do not reflect the Constitution. They represent judicial activism and rewriting the structure of our laws. And when you have five people who can do that, you have basically a judicial dictatorship or tyranny.
Now, let me point out that some of the president's supporters on this are saying that she filled out a questionnaire 20 years ago in which she said she was supportive of a constitutional amendment for human life. Now, there are a lot of problems with this. The first problem is, that questionnaire was not signed and dated.
Now, how could they know that she filled it out if it wasn't signed
and
dated?
That's right. You really can't know. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. We just don't know. It is not signed and dated.
Why would you fill out a questionnaire if it's not signed and dated? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know why people do things. But then the other thing is, just because you're for a constitutional amendment does not tell you anything about whether she believes in judicial supremacy. The notion that we need to have a constitutional amendment to correct every bad Supreme Court decision is not acceptable. The problem is the court doing things that are not in the Constitution. Now, of course, we can pass a constitutional amendment, but that doesn't take care of the problem of the court. And we are facing this problem of do we believe in self-government, where our decisions are made by our elected representatives whom we can fire when we don't like what they do. Are we going to have an elite group of judges who make all these decisions and then say, well, if you don't like it, you can pass a constitutional amendment? That's not acceptable.
Well, of course, the thing, what's really so interesting about the Harriet Myers candidacy is both people on the right and the left are saying, you know, we don't know where she stands for. I think a lot of the Democrats are very concerned. I know the conservative Republicans are concerned about her.
Yes, the Democrats are concerned because of course, all they care about is getting somebody who's pro-abortion, and who knows? I mean, she indicates, and she belongs to a pro-life church, apparently, but then there are a lot of people in public life who belong to pro-life churches who themselves are pro-abortion, like Ted Kennedy and John Kerry and Condoleezza Rice and Harry Reid.
Right. So that we certainly can't judge people by the type of church that they belong to. It's what they themselves believe about this.
And she hasn't told us. And she hasn't told us. That is the big problem.
All right, fine. Well, of course, why would President Bush appoint a candidate like this with no track record? And it's all just trust me. And, of course, we've seen Ann Coulter and so many of the Republicans come out to say, I'm tired of trusting politicians. I want evidence before I trust anybody.
Well, I agree with that. I don't trust any of them. That's right. Even Ronald Reagan, the great Ronald Reagan, made a couple of mistakes. But this matter of trusting them and what she does or what she doesn't do, we have to kind of take it on the record, and there isn't any record of what she said. Now, did you read John Fund's article today in the Wall Street Journal?
No, I haven't had a chance to.
Well, he has done a real investigative job of going around, and he's talked to a lot of people. And you know, when the administration people sweet-talked Dr. Dobson and Richard Land into supporting Harriet Myers, they apparently told them that other qualified women candidates that were judges had turned it down.
And that was really, but they didn't tell Dr. Dobson which other qualified.
No, and I disbelieve that in the first place, because no lawyer turns down the Supreme Court, Dr. Spann. It just, the Supreme Court is the ultimate in the legal profession.
Why wouldn't
And now, based on John Fund's article in today's Wall Street Journal, he casts great doubt on that. He goes through how one of them was vetoed by this new pro-abortion co-chair of the Republican National Committee, and others were simply vetoed by somebody in the administration who said, well, they would just cause too much of a fight with the Democrats. And so the women themselves did not turn it down.
And I think they know that Democrats are never afraid of a fight. Why are the Republicans afraid for a fight to try to preserve America? And, you know, the thing is that, you know, we have a lot of wonderful people in the conservative Christian movement, but I think that some of them are terribly, terribly gullible. And that, I think, is really very dangerous when they have a large following.
Yes, and not only gullible, but they don't have the stomach for a fight. And you in politics, it is a fight. You have to be able to take controversy. If you can't take controversy, get out of politics. It's like a doctor who can't stand the sight of blood. I said to my doctor's son when he was going through med school, do you ever have guys who get weak at the sight of blood? Yes, he said, we send them into psychiatry. And because a doctor's got to be able to stand the sight of blood. And somebody in politics has got to be able to stand controversy and keep your equanimity and keep your courage. And this was a situation. This was a great opportunity of the generation to shape up the court and set it on the right path. And it, what is so distressing is it's such a missed opportunity.
Well, you know, certainly I am very, very concerned about Harriet Myers, but I'm not completely happy at all with Judge Roberts, who really, we don't know what he really feels about a lot of these things. So there are a lot of questionable things there. Now, he is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I would have thought that George Bush would have appointed Clarence Thomas or Judge Scalia to that position. Instead, he took a man that had never been on the Supreme Court and suddenly made him a Chief Justice, just exactly, well, at least he had been a judge. But I remember when Eisenhower brought in Earl Warren, the greatest mistake he ever made, according to Eisenhower.
He admitted.
And, you know, but what do you think of Judge Roberts? Are we just going to have to wait and see?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic. We think and hope that he will be a judge like Rehnquist. And Rehnquist was a man who had the inner stamina of character to be the Lone Ranger for years. There were years when he was the only dissenting voice, the only conservative. And he was very good. But I personally think the president should have made Scalia Chief Justice, but then he didn't ask me. I didn't expect him to. But he didn't. And so we're hopeful about Roberts that he will be as good as Rehnquist. But just remember, that doesn't move the court. That keeps us right where we are. Assuming that he does fulfill the task of being like Rehnquist. What we've got to move the court is to have somebody really good to replace O'Connor. And there's no indication that Myers has that constitutional philosophy or that she has the stamina of character to stand up against what goes on in Washington. She's a woman who has advanced by simply being somebody who supported anything Bush wanted.
And that really is, of course, why she is where she is. Isn't she the chief counsel for the White House?
Yes, yes, she is.
And she apparently spends a lot of time with the president and very good friends with the president. But that doesn't qualify you to be a justice on the United States Supreme Court, especially when you have never written anything on the Constitution. Where you have never served as a local judge or a state judge or a federal judge. And suddenly this woman would be on the court where she could actually change the course of our nation. And I share Phyllis's concern about where we're headed. And when we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Like to know what you think. If you have a question specifically for Phyllis, why, we'd love to hear from you.
four-tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Phyllis Lafley. Her book, The Supremacist, and we recommend the book to you very, very much because we think it's so vitally important you have a grasp of what this overall issue really is. And Phyllis does a tremendous job of going into the history of the court and Marbury versus Madison and the Dred Scott decision and so many of the other decisions that have played an important part in changing the way that laws are enacted in this country. And then, of course, this whole move towards judicial activism when 5 people can violate their oath of office and transform our society from a free society into one that's controlled from Washington, D.C., and can find the right of a woman to kill the child within her womb, and can actually say it's perfectly all right to have a sodomy. I know there's no, you cannot have a law against this at the state level. All these things that they've done, they have no right to do. Wouldn't that be a fair statement, Phyllis?
Well, yes, and what the Supreme Court did was to invent rights that were not in the Constitution, to look around in what they called the penumbra or the shadows of the Constitution and create a new right that didn't exist. That's what they did with Roe v. Wade. There is nothing in the Constitution to authorize that. Again, we come back to what Justice Thomas said. When you're confronted with a decision, the justices should look and say, does the Constitution authorize it or forbid it? Now, in the case of abortion, the Constitution did not authorize the killing of an unborn baby. In the case of the Texas sodomy law, which you mentioned, the Constitution did not forbid Texas from having a sodomy law. And so, in the former, they looked around and said they found this right to abortion in the penumbra, or the shadows. In the sodomy case, they looked to foreign decisions. The British Parliament, the European Court of Human Rights, a brief that was filed by some UN High Commissioner, and emerging awareness. Now, what do you think of that as a criterion for making Supreme Court decisions? If you're going to have such a nebulous foundation as that, they can do anything, and they have been doing anything.
And, of course, that's really the frightening thing. And I think even more frightening is that the members of Congress who have the ability to counter this, because we do have a system of checks and balances so that no branch of government, either the executive or the legislative or the judicial, can ever become predominant. Both the executive and the legislative have simply abdicated their responsibility to a majority on the Supreme Court, so that now we can have five people who rule America. That is what's so frightening. Why doesn't Congress intervene? The House of Representatives, these people are answerable to us. They're reelected every 2 years. Why don't they do something? And why don't we let the American people know that they've got to get rid of the congressmen who do not have the integrity to do what's right to preserve our Constitution?
Well, they're marshmallows, that's why. And they have the duty to put the Supreme Court back in its proper place, but they're not doing it. And one thing that this debate about Supreme Court justices does show is that it is not enough to appoint good people. Congress should exercise its authority to take away from the court those areas of jurisdiction where we don't trust them. And I would start off with the Pledge of Allegiance, the Ten Commandments, the definition of marriage, and the Boy Scouts. We do not trust what the courts have been doing in those areas. Just take, for example, the people of Nebraska passed a marriage amendment by 70% of the voters. A federal judge just said, tough, I'm throwing it out. Take the Pledge of Allegiance, which was passed, the law was passed unanimously by Congress a half century ago, and millions of kids have said it. And now you've got a judge out there on the left coast who's just said, oh, we just discovered it's unconstitutional. It's a violation of the First Amendment. And then you take the Boy Scouts. We all love the Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts have been having a jamboree on a piece of military property in Virginia for the last 25 years. It's a big event. The president usually goes. It attracts 40,000 scouts and 300,000 parents and spectators. And some Clinton-appointed judge in Chicago recently just said, just discovered that's a violation of the First Amendment. Since the Boy Scouts pledged to do their duty to God and country, you can't have the jamboree anymore. Now, we shouldn't put up with that. Do we believe in self-government or don't we?
Well, it seems to me that we're quite willing to abdicate our freedom and our future to five people on the Supreme Court. And, of course, our congressional representatives, and we'll talk about that when we get that, but they have the authority under Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution to limit the appellate jurisdiction to the Supreme Court, and they don't have the courage to do it, or maybe they don't want to do it. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Phyllis Schlafly, and Phyllis Schlafly's book, The Supremacist We Carry. Of course, we carry her other book, written back in 1964, called A Choice, Not an Echo. But right now, we want to go out to Keith, who's calling us from Detroit, Michigan. Keith, did you have a question for Mrs. Schlafly?
Yes, Mr. Schlafly. I haven't read your book yet, but I'm kind of wondering on... what you would think, well, not what you would think, but what you do think about these nominations and how this really changes anything, I guess, as the Republicans and Democrats are walking down the sidewalk to globalism, how this really has any effect on it. He's filling the nominations full of his buddies, and when most of our Congress is, globalist anyway. How this is going to make any difference?
All right, fine. First, Keith wants to know, is this really going to make a difference? It seems that, of course, that both the leaders of both the Republican and Democrat Party are intent upon, one world government and shifting our sovereignty to other nations. Will the Supreme Court nominations really make a difference?
Well, they will if you have the right people. I think if Harriet Myers is confirmed, we'll be just still on dead center where we were before. I don't think it'll make a difference. And that's why we feel so betrayed by the president, who should have appointed a Scalia. If we had another Scalia on, and then if Bush got another appointment, which is very likely, and we had another Scalia, we could have a dramatic effect. But I think your question is broader than just the Supreme Court decisions. A lot of these globalism efforts are coming through the president and through the Congress. Some of them are on the court. Now, the court, for example, when we went into NAFTA, and uh, the uh, the NAFTA court, the NAFTA tribunal, ordered us to admit the Mexican trucks. That went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court upheld this foreign tribunal demanding that we bring the Mexican trucks into our country. I think that was a terrible decision, and that's where the court did get into this issue. Another place where the court got into this was to really start the stream of illegal aliens coming into this country. That was a Justice William Brennan decision. He was one of the Eisenhower mistakes and part of the Warren Court. And he was the one who said that we have to give free public school education to the illegal aliens. Now, there's nothing in the Constitution that requires that, nothing in any law. They made it up. And once the illegals realized they could come to this country, get their children to have a free public school education, then they can tie into all sorts of other taxpayer-paid benefits so that the costs on the American people are dreadful.
And don't you think another instance where, of course, the courts are pushing towards globalism would be the decisions by Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sandra Day O'Connor and others that we should consult with international laws like the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights and the European Constitution to determine what our laws would be?
That's a very good point, and I do have a chapter in my book, The Supremacist, on the citing of foreign law. Both Ginsburg and O'Connor have made several speeches saying that it's up. We should pay attention to what foreigners are saying, and we should get their opinion. We talked earlier about how they used foreign opinion to overturn the Texas sodomy law. Another case where the Supreme Court did that was in the Simmons case, and that's a case that came out of Missouri here, so we know all about it. This was a ruthless, vicious 17-year-old who committed a thrill murder, was duly convicted and sentenced to capital punishment, and went up to the Supreme Court, and there's nothing in our Constitution that forbids executing a 17-year-old, nothing. So the court looked to foreign countries, and the court said, we see a trend against executing 17-year-olds in Saudi Arabia, Iran, China, and a couple of other countries. And therefore, they saved this Simmons from being executed. Now, it's just outrageous to cite foreign decisions and courts to change American domestic law. If we want to change our law, we should have the right to do that ourselves.
And, Keith, I really think that the significant thing is that, you know, if there was even one branch of our government that was really dedicated to preservation of our society because of the checks and balances, we could stop the globalists. I think what happens on the Supreme Court is very important. I think the other things are important, too, but we need one branch of government that will stand against us, and that's why I think these appointments are very important. Did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
My point was kind of... you know, we already know that in the executive department we already have a globalist, and through the Congress we have a globalist, and even with the old Supreme Court we had globalism there too. Even if we got our choices to go in there, even if we had the perfect candidates for the Republican society that we want, you know, to be placed in there, we would still have 2/3 of of our government that would be in globalism.
We might very well, Keith, but at least we would have one segment that would say no. And of course, we have checks and balances, and the Supreme Court could intervene, but they're not going to. Hey, well, thanks so much. Let's go to Robert, who's calling from Ohio. And Robert, did you have a question or comment?
Oh, Dr. Stan, Phyllis, yes. The John Birch Society puts out an annual report card on each congressman from each district throughout the United States. And then it's incumbent on somebody from that society to go into meetings when they have town meetings, town hall meetings, when they come back home, each congressman, and then they present to the people coming into the meeting how the congressman, their congressman, voted on constitutional issues. If we had something like this throughout the United States, we might be able to get the congressmen that are not abiding by the Constitution out.
Well, of course, you're absolutely right.
Yes, that's a very good point. And And the way to bring the pressure is right directly from the constituents on the members of Congress. You're absolutely right.
Okay, good point well made, Robert. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. And, of course, let's go. Our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Roger, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, thank you, folks. And Phyllis the Magnificent, I'd like to ask, I've got this awful vision that Satan and his minions, the liberal Democrats,
all right, fine. Roger wants to make a long speech. And so if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, why give us a call of 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Phyllis, what can we do out here in the listening audience at this time about what's happening in Washington, D.C., about the Harriet Myers appointment? Because certainly there's nothing we can do about Judge Roberts. He got in because a lot of the Democrats obviously were worried about him. I think that causes me to be very, very worried. But what can we do about the Harriet Myers issue? And if she is dropped, about possibly getting a better candidate? Because there's talk about maybe she will be dropped by the president. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's about 50-50 now. There is a new website that just was launched today called withdrawmyers.org. Myers is spelled M-I-E-R-S, withdrawmyers.org. And it has links to many fine articles on this subject that would give you all the arguments you need to talk against the confirmation of Harriet Myers. And you need to get after your senators and tell them what you think about this subject. So that's one thing you can do. I am very encouraged, Dr. Stan. You know, my book, The Supremacist, has been out about a year. And what my motive was to get the issues pertaining to the courts a matter of public discussion and debate. And I think we've made progress about that. The American Bar Association just took a survey of what people think about judicial activism. And they reported it, and these lawyers are absolutely shocked with the results because they found that a majority of Americans agree with the statements that judicial activism has reached a crisis, that judges ignore traditional morality, that judges are arrogant, out of control, and unaccountable, and that judges who ignore voters' values should be impeached. And the ABA is just in shock about this. This was not a poll of conservatives or religious right. It was a random sample poll of the general population conducted by a respectable pollster. And it shows that the American people are waking up. And what I tried to do with my book is to show you these common sense arguments that you can use when you go into those town hall meetings that the earlier caller mentioned, and when you call up your congressman and give your opinion about these issues. Congress should get on the ball and pass the bills, a couple of them of which passed the House last year but didn't go all the way, to take away from the court the power to rule on the Pledge of Allegiance, the Ten Commandments, the definition of marriage, and the Boy Scouts.
Well, of course, one of the most amazing decisions was the recent decision on the Ten Commandments, where it was all right to have it one place on public property and not another.
Wasn't that ridiculous?
How could they possibly come up with that sort of a decision?
Well, it just shows how convoluted they are. There were two decisions on the Supreme Court, and the one they said, well, it's okay because it's outside on the lawn, and it was put up with a secular motive. It was put up to promote Cecil B. DeMille's great movie, The Ten Commandments. But the other one in Kentucky was inside the courthouse, and it was put up with a religious motive. So that's intolerable, and that has to be taken down as unconstitutional.
But that's the one that contained the Declaration of Independence along with the Ten Commandments.
You're right. Makes no sense. And then you know what they did. What are they going to do about the Ten Commandments on the walls of the Supreme Court?
What are they going to do about that?
Well, they said, you're not going to have to blast those off because you can't read all the words on the tablet.
Do you think
we're too dumb to know what words were on the tablets that Moses was carrying?
Well, of course, the other thing is, how do they justify the fact that whenever the Supreme Court opens, the choir comes in and says, God save the United States, and this honorable court. How do they justify that?
Well, they just ignored it. That's how.
And the fact that every state constitution, all 50 of them, mention God in the state constitutions?
Yeah, that's right. They ignore that. But the atheist secularist movement in this country is determined to wipe them all out. And they continue to bring lawsuits. And that is why Congress should pass a law saying the courts cannot hear any challenge under the First Amendment to the acknowledgement of God in a public place.
And I certainly agree with you. Do you ever have a feeling that there is almost an organized effort, a coordinated effort to destroy Christianity in America?
Well, I think that's clear from the lawsuit. It's a movement, a combination of atheists, and they want to give us a secular society in this country in which Christians are treated like smokers. That is, you can do it in your own house or down an alley in a doorway, but you can't do it out in public.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Robert. I don't know. Is this the same Robert who called before or a different Robert?
This is a different Robert.
All right, fine. Well, we've got two Roberts in Ohio then. Go ahead. Do you have a question for Phyllis?
Well, I enjoy the broadcast and what you've been telling, and I haven't read your book. But my question is basically, is there anything less than removing these justices from office that is going to straighten the situation out?
Are you suggesting we impeach some of these people?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. What are your thoughts on that, Phyllis?
Well, I think one ground for impeachment would be citing foreign law. And I think it would have a very healthy effect if a congressman would start that. But meanwhile, if the president appointed one or even two more Scalias, that would change the whole thing. But more immediately, Congress should pass laws which restrain the court on the areas where we don't trust them. And listen, Dr. Stan, just the other day, Congress passed a law taking away jurisdiction from the court to hear these lawsuits against the gun manufacturers. Now, that was a very important thing. Even a lot of the Democrats voted for it because they realized they've been on the wrong side of the gun issue. And this is depriving saying the courts cannot hear these lawsuits against the gun manufacturers, trying to claim that the gun manufacturers are guilty when somebody goes out and murders somebody.
And I think what's so important is that basically what this is there's an appendum or encoded in the law is saying that courts cannot intervene. I think that is so vitally important that suddenly people in Congress are beginning to realize that it doesn't really matter what they do as long as Congress can come along and completely undermine them as they did with the statement as far as partial birth abortion. Hey, well, thanks so much for calling. Robert, anything else you want to ask?
Well, that was basically it. The tyranny, judicial tyranny, you know, a lot of people are aware of that. Even Reverend Dobson, he just offered a tape by Francis Schaeffer, which he said that back in 82. And I just think a lot of people are hedging on the problem that the only way to do this is to rise up against it as a Constitution guarantees Americans when they're under a tyrannical government to do and try to undo and unweave this web.
But I think we have to educate people. That's our goal. And thanks so much for calling. We've got Todd. Do you have a quick question? We're almost out of time.
Yes, Dr. Stan, I have a quick comment. You mentioned earlier how whether these judges or these appointees believe in the Constitution as a living, evolving document or either a fixed, permanent document. And, you know, this very spirit of the times we live, it seems in the very air we breathe, is filled with compromise. And most all of these people, whether they call themselves conservative or liberal, believe in compromise, that the principles of our Constitution can be compromised and changed and evolved away. And, of course, they believe that they are evolving into a better society, which, of course, we who know the truth know that it is nothing more than raw degeneration. And we live in a society today, Dr. Stan, where the church cannot even stand on the Bible. The Bible, in the church's eyes, is even an evolving document being rewritten and being changed.
All right. I think you're absolutely right, and I appreciate so much your thoughts. It's about time that maybe we started having ministers who are preaching the fear of God.
Amen.
God bless. Thanks very much. Well, Phyllis, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, I would hope that all of your listeners would be engaged in these arguments about the judiciary. They are not too complicated for the average person to understand. My book, The Supremacist, puts it out in plain English. And we want a growing body of people in this country who can call in on the talk shows, who can really argue it with your members of Congress, and get them to do what they need to do to shape up the court. And I think we are this American Bar Association poll shows that we are making progress. The majority of people in the United States think the courts are out of control. Now, we really have to move forward. We need to get good judges, but we also need to get Congress to act and to protect the things that we really care about in this country.
Well, God bless you. We're out of time. Our guest has been Phyllis Schlafly, her book, The Supremacist, and we carry that book. Phyllis, do you want to put your website out?
Oh, yes, eagleforum.org.
Eagleforum.org. Go there. Phyllis puts out some of the greatest material you'll find in America. God bless, and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Good evening.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the Lake Arm off the eastern coast? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Cal-Ben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Cal-Ben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Cal-Ben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Cal-Ben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Cal-Ben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly we offer the book The Supremacist by Phyllis Schlafly, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. The majority of the American people are on our side. I subscribe to the Humanist magazine put out by the other side. They had an article in there about Judge Roy Moore. And there was a Time poll, a couple of polls on, you know, how the people of Alabama and the country felt about George Roy Moore and the fact that the courts had found him guilty of a terrible crime because he wanted to be able to actually affirm his belief in God and have his belief in God direct his judicial decisions. And over 70% of the people agreed with Judge Moore, and they felt that the court were absolutely wrong and the Supreme Courts were wrong. And the humanists couldn't believe that with all of the efforts they have to control the minds of the American people, that the people can still think clearly on these very important issues. So we are the majority. We just have to get the majority educated as to the true spiritual nature of what's going on. And that's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it tells you why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. Everybody knows they took it out, but why did they do it? And, of course, you can get the video, you can get the audio tape, or you can get them all together, the book, the video, and the audio tape, and the Brotherhood of Darkness special, and we hope you'll get that, and that you'll copy the video, that you'll copy the audio tape, because you've got to help us get the information out across America. So, again, if you'd like to get the Brotherhood of Darkness special, why the telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly hope that you'll want to get our material on the war in Iraq. How do we understand what's going on in Iraq? Why you want to get my talk? It's a video called Iraq, the Untold Story, and you'll want to get the syllabus that goes with that. And you'll understand all of the wars of the last century. If you'd like to understand really the background of so many wars, why you certainly would want to get our recent letter, War is a Racket. It's actually a talk that was given by Major General Smedley Butler. It was a talk he gave back in 1935. Major General Butler was the most highly decorated Marine officer of that time with 2 Congressional Medals of Honor. And if you'd like a free copy of that newsletter, we'll send it to you. Of course, you can go up on the Internet and pull it down there at 1-800-544-8927. But you need to understand the background of war. It has nothing to do with the lies they tell the American people. After all, didn't we go to the First World War to make the world safer, democracy, and the war to end all wars? And they always have slogans. But that has nothing to do with the real reason the wicked people send our boys off to fight and bleed and suffer and die. So you need to get, of course, the Iraq, the Untold Story, the video, and the syllabus that goes with that. And then please go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet 5 hours a day. And then, of course, shortwave 4 hours a day. And remember, the 31st of this month, why the frequency of the afternoon and one of the evening frequencies changes to 7.490. That's 7.490. And then, of course, please tell others about the coming up shortwave chains. We are putting on an all-day conference here in the Monterey Bay area, and that's going to be on the 19th of November, and we hope that many of you will be able to come. You're going to have to make advance reservations, however, because we're going to be serving lunch there, and so call us at 1-800-544 if you can attend our all-day conference here. We're bringing in outside speakers, and, well, it's really going to be exciting. Great information you're not going to get elsewhere, and information you need to take back to your community. And then, of course, remember, we do carry the Berkey products. If you buy the Big Berkey or Berkey Light through my ministry, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video that we have produced. I can't give you any video, but the ones we produce, we'll get you a copy of. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927. To understand the spiritual battle, you need the video. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 6-hour version, or the 10-hour version, I should say, and then pray for America, pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.